Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the sixth show in our new series to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a fully licensed physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means your individual treatment with us may include a wide range of approaches, but will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health issues, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we'll address diverse kinds of issues, including chronic back pain, healthy aging, climate change and health, selecting supplements, sleep and health, and breathing freely. And we'll do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. In our last show, we started a series on nutrition, offering nutrition basics which are important in order to be able to make intelligent and appropriate decisions about our own dietary choices, depending on who we are and the specifics of our lives. Nutrition is not a one-size-fits-all garment. Our age, our gender, our athletic activities, our work and stress demands, our state of basic health, all can shift our nutritional needs and choices. So in order to understand how to answer the questions on everyone's minds, what should I eat? What supplements should I take? We have to first understand a little about basic human nutritional requirements, which is what we covered in the last show. And you can listen to that first nutrition show online by going to Robinhood Radio's website on demand section and selecting the Your Health shows, and then Nutrition 1. But just to give you a few essentials from last time as a review for today, standard nutritional science tells us that we need to eat from a diverse set of food groups and fats, usually talked about as eating in ascending order from fats, the least amount we would eat, plus the five food groups of protein foods, dairy, grains, fruits and vegetables, the last of which we should eat the most of. And we need to eat from all these groups in order to supply us with about 40 to 60 grams of protein and 5 to 13 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables, with a serving being roughly what fits in the palm of your own hand, as well as 13 essential vitamins and 15 essential minerals. Remember from last time that the human body is made up of different organs and tissues, For example, liver, heart, lungs, eyes, muscles, skin, bone, blood, lymph, and on and on, and all made up of different kinds of cells and lots of water. Remember from basic biology that cells are the microscopic building blocks of most life forms. Current estimates of the number of cells in the human body range from about 50 to 100 trillion cells, which is a mind-boggling idea. And that's in the context of very recent discovery that there are about 10 times as many helpful bacterial cells as human cells integrated into most areas of our body. That enormous and diverse bacterial population is often called our microbiome. It's integrated into our physiology and is essential to our nutrition as well as other aspects of our lives. So keep in mind that there are an enormous number of specialized human and bacterial cells working together in a big series of vital microecosystems layered within the human body. And these make up all of our tissues and organs, and hence our bodies. And all these cells have basic needs in order to keep alive and healthy and doing their jobs. And all those cellular needs translate up into our basic dietary nutritional needs. In order to understand how best to feed ourselves, let's take a few moments to review what actually happens to food when we put it into our mouths and then digest the food rather miraculously into the substances that we can absorb and use, remembering that we are eating fats, proteins, which are made up of amino acids, carbohydrates, which include sugars, minerals, vitamins, and the thousands of other compounds and beneficial microbes found within the plant and animal tissues that we chew up and swallow every day. As we mechanically break up our food by chewing, we release saliva from our salivary glands. Saliva contains enzymes that help to pre-digest our food, particularly starches and fats, as well as containing some antibodies and other useful compounds. So your grandmother was right when she said to chew your food carefully. But it's mostly water that helps to lubricate the food and ultimately allows us to swallow it. Our food then enters the esophagus, that tube that travels through our neck and through an opening in the diaphragm connecting the mouth and the stomach. The esophagus has a specialized lid called the epiglottis that prevents food from entering our windpipe when we eat. And the esophagus itself contracts in waves to swallow the food and transfer it to the stomach. In the stomach, gastric juices are released, including hydrochloric acid and pepsin, and these further break down the food. The stomach itself also contracts rhythmically to churn the food. Next, the food is emptied into the small intestine. This is where most of digestion and absorption occur. Bile, pancreatic, and intestinal juices, which contain multiple enzymes, are released that further break down fats, proteins, and sugars. Most absorption of the products of digestion and nutrients occurs in the small intestine through specialized tissues projecting into the cavity of the intestines called villi. And then the remainder, including non-digestible fiber, moves into the large intestine. The large intestine absorbs as much water as possible back from the digested food mass, as well as a few sugars and vitamins. The remainder material becomes feces, which is eliminated through the rectum and the anus. This extraordinary process occurs every time we eat, and it's dependent on a diverse and enormous internal microbial flora to ensure proper breakdown and absorption of all the important nutrients in our food. Recall that we're only 10% human. For every human cell that's intrinsic to our body, there are about 10 resident microbes, most of whom are in our gut, including what we call commensals, which are generally harmless associates, and mutualists, who trade favors. They get some benefit, and we do too. And in only a tiny number of cases are these microbes pathogens. So our efforts to feed ourselves the basic requirements of nutrition depend not only on what we put in our mouths, but also who, in the form of our gut microflora, is living with us within. And that gut microflora is influenced by what we put in our mouths and depends on lots of fresh fruits and vegetables to stay healthy. So let's think about how we meet our basic needs of fats, of which we should eat the least amount, plus the five food groups of protein foods, dairy, grains, fruits, and vegetables, of which we should eat the most, including that 50 to 60 grams of protein, those 5 to 13 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables, and sources of the 13 essential vitamins and 15 essential minerals. Fats can be eaten as saturated fats or unsaturated fats. Saturated animal fats, like the fat found in meats, whole dairy foods, and butter, are definitely linked to numerous diseases. Saturated animal fats are not required in our diets and should only be a very minimal part of what we eat. Unsaturated fats from fish and plants, like olive and sunflower oils, are far more healthy for us. We do need to include plenty of healthy fats in our diets. They're important materials for much of our cellular structure and metabolism. The best way to do that is to eat fish and plant oils that have not been heavily processed or artificially saturated. These so-called trans fats, like those in stick form margarine, are always to be avoided. There are a few saturated plant oils: coconut oil, palm, and palm kernel oils. Coconut oil in modest quantities may have some health benefits. In general, it's best to stay with unsaturated plant oils like olive, sunflower, safflower, peanut, and numerous others. Protein is made up of building blocks called amino acids, and the complete set of the amino acids we need are found in all animal flesh, including fish, shellfish, and insects, in poultry eggs, and dairy foods. But thankfully, for all of us who are vegetarians, they are also found in relative abundance in nuts, seeds, beans, peas, lentils, and many vegetables, including kale. We need about 50 to 60 grams, or 1.8 to 2 ounces of protein daily from diverse sources, to include some of all of the essential amino acids. The thing is that protein levels are lower per ounce of tissue in non-animal sources, and not all the required essential amino acids are found in any one plant source, unlike in animal foods. So it's important to be aware of how much protein we're eating and that it's coming from diverse plant sources if we're going to have a vegetarian diet. We no longer believe that we need to eat a complete set of all the required essential amino acids in one meal. They can be sprinkled throughout a day's meals, or even across several days' meals, as long as we're eating adequate total protein with some of all of the essential amino acids. Eating meat, eggs, fish, or dairy provides all of those. Eating a plant-only based diet, sometimes called a vegan diet, requires more attention to detail on whether or not the full set of essential amino acids is being supplied. But it's not that difficult to achieve if you eat a diverse set of plant foods that includes generous helpings of unprocessed nuts and beans and high-protein veggies like kale. To give you an idea of quantities, an egg has about 6 grams of protein. A handful of 10 to 12 whole raw almonds has about 6 grams of protein also. An 8-ounce serving of cooked salmon has about 40 grams of protein, while a generous 1.5 cups of cooked chickpeas, or garbanzos, has about 21 grams of protein, and 1.5 cups of cooked lentils has about 27 grams of protein. There are many easily accessible lists of the specific protein content of foods on the web that you can utilize to help you sort this out. Vegetables, fruit, whole grains, nuts, and seeds should be the majority of our daily diet. They supply high-quality complex carbohydrates, fiber, vitamins, minerals, protein, and unsaturated fats, as well as many antioxidants and other substances important for health and vitality. We need those 5 to 13 servings of unprocessed fruit and vegetables every day, with a serving being what fits in the palm of your own hand. A large salad, for example, could be the equivalent of 3 servings for you. Fresh fruit and vegetables also support a balanced gut microflora, which in turn helps us digest and absorb nutrients in an optimal way. Eating a wide variety of fresh, unprocessed fruits and vegetables of different colors and types, and diverse plant foods like dried beans and peas, with whole grains like brown rice, quinoa, farro, which is a traditional ancient whole wheat, and oatmeal, but not instant oatmeal, ensures we are getting a good balance of our nutritional requirements without including problematic foods like processed carbs and high sugar loads. As a rule of thumb, proportionally, our plates at lunch or dinner should include mostly vegetables and fruit, at least half the plate, with about another quarter of the plate given over to whole grains, nuts, and seeds, and the last quarter of the plate reserved for protein foods. That could be fish and meats for omnivores, or additional plant protein sources like lentils, beans, or tofu for vegans. Notice that bread is not required, and that whole grains are always preferable to processed flour-based foods like pasta or bread. There is an excellent web resource for getting basics and detail on the nutritional content of foods and food combinations, as well as on some of the controversial pluses and minuses of varying diets. I recommend checking this website out. It's an up-to-date, balanced, easy-to-read, and easy-to-search site from the Harvard School of Public Health called The Nutrition Source. And while we are thinking about what we should eat, let's spend a few moments on what we should not eat, including the huge issue of food source and quality. The United States is definitely suffering from an epidemic of obesity and related health issues like adult-onset diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. We know that diets high in refined carbohydrates, sugars, processed foods with high salt and additives, red meat, and processed meats like bacon and processed saturated fats contribute to these health problems. Yes, the research data just keep piling up on the problems with these foods. We also have to face the fact that pesticide use contributes to health problems for us and the planet. This is why it's important to not only be aware of what we are eating, but also to know the source and quality of our food. Unprocessed food is always best. Eating sustainably grown fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, local grass-fed and unsprayed grain-fed meat, poultry, and dairy that you prepare yourself ensures that you are eating high-quality food without toxins and other unwanted residues and additives in your food. We are incredibly blessed here to live in a region with a bounty of farming and farmers' markets. It is one of the great pleasures and privileges in our region to be able to actually talk to our farmers at farmers markets about their crops and animals and how they're growing them. If we know our farmers, we know our food. And if we know our food, we can know our own nutrition. There's simply no substitute for knowing your farmer and knowing your food in terms of ensuring the quality of your own nutrition. So take advantage of that opportunity here in our area. Whew, that's a lot of information to chew on. That was a pun intended. But if we think about eating a diverse, plant-heavy diet that includes plant oils, lots of sustainably grown fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, beans, and seeds, and, if we wish, small quantities of fresh, locally grown animal-based food with no or very little processed, high sugar, or refined flour foods, we will be on the right track for most of us. But there's another crucial aspect to nutrition, in addition to what we choose to eat and swallow. And that is that after we open our mouths and take a bite, our bodies go to work to chew and digest the food, and absorb, metabolize, and utilize the nutrients. As we talked about earlier, there are an extraordinary anatomy and physiology that make that miracle happen every time we eat. The physical mechanical aspect of nutrition is sitting within us in the shape and form of all those organs and tissues in our physical body that make digestion and metabolism happen. These organs are subject to all the stresses and strains that the rest of our body is subject to, which is why osteopathy can be so helpful in optimizing nutrition through optimizing structure and function of our gastrointestinal system. How can gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician help your anatomy help you with nutrition? Well, let's remember that relationship between structure and function and the ecosystem nature of the human body. The gastrointestinal system can be thought of as our own nutritional system. Mouth, tongue, teeth, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, liver, gallbladder, pancreas are all involved in processing, absorbing, and utilizing nutrients. Every one of these organs is made up of specialized tissues that perform numerous critical functions and services. Each of these organs is contained within a fascial sleeve of connective tissue that is interwoven through all of the adjacent organs. And these organs are all suspended by ligaments also from within the abdomen. And they are all packed in closely and efficiently, yet flexibly, within our abdominal space, ranging from just underneath the diaphragm, surrounded by the lower ribs, all the way down to the pelvic floor, from front to back. When the diaphragm moves up and down as part of our healthy breathing, these organs are rocked, and their circulation is actually assisted. Each of these organs is supplied by a complex set of arteries and has their waste removed by veins and lymphatic vessels. If the vessels are compressed, if the fascial sleeves are pulled tight or twisted, if the diaphragm is restricted and not moving or moving in a twisted fashion, the gastrointestinal organs are also restricted, and their function can easily be affected in a negative way. The nerves that control the function of the organs also course through all of these tissues, and if their path is compressed, inflamed, or restricted mechanically, this can easily lead to an overactive or underactive digestive function. An osteopathic physician who is a manual medicine specialist can use their hands to determine if such restrictions are part of a patient's GI-related nutritional pathology, and can gently assist your body to release that restriction and restore normal function. Often, such a problem goes undiagnosed until all kinds of other approaches have been tried and failed to help. But the manual approach of a licensed osteopathic physician can allow your body to resolve the problem using its own marvelous anatomy and its relationship to physiology. It's a remarkable thing. Well, it looks like we're ready to wrap up today. Next time, we'll tackle that thorny subject of supplements. So stay tuned, because that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy at our office in Sharon, Connecticut, the practice of Dr. Andrew Goldman and Dr. Kim Tripp, 860-364-5990. We are there Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.